So we're continuing the difficult sugi of Dam Mako. We begin by opening the Shulchan Aruch again, the Ramah, where we left off last time. We're not going to go over what we did last time. We're going to spend a lot of time on that again, the shot in that difficult Mordechai. Let's put that behind us. But we're far from finished with the sugi of Dam Mako. In Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, Sif Hei and the Ramah, we read the first part already last week. Now we start a new thing. B'cheinim eilav eses kavua. U'safek im adam bomen ha-mokar min ha-tzodim. Oz talinim b'makar mikoach sfek sfek. Safek min ha-tzodim omen ha-mokar. Vim timtel omen min ha-mokar. Shemahu min ha-makar. Anuzach. Sfek sfek. Now, some of you are experts in first Chelik of Yerodeus, so you know what those close Svek Svek of the Shach, I'm sure you know by heart. And you're probably wondering, is this qualify as a Svek Svek? We're not going to have time to go into all the ins and outs of the close Svek Svek of the Shach. Nonetheless, we have to discuss a few things which are clearly relevant to this discussion. The first one is what kind of Svek Svek is it? Where are the two separate Svekas over here? As a matter of fact, the source for this is it says on the side, the Sha'arei Dura. However, the Shach claims the Sha'arei Dura never said it. Lo hoyin v'ro me'olam. Shach v'beit. Din zahotzi rabbi d'arkei Moshe v'divrei Sha'arei Dura. And he quotes it a certain thing. And he quotes a whole long discussion, so we're not going to read everything. So the Ramah understood it to mean the Svek Sveka. He never said Svek Sveka. Lohoyu Dvara Meolam. He never said it. Shach seems to say it's not a Svek Svek. The question, of course, becomes why. So in some of the Shulchan Aruch, they have in the back, I'm not sure if we have it over here, commentaries on the Shach. I'm not sure what's in the Shulchan Aruch. One is called the Machtzis HaShekel. We have to learn the Machtzis HaShekel on the Mogan Avraham and Aruch Chaim. That's on the Shach too. Is it here? Where did I find it? I'm going to find in this edition. The old one has it, this should certainly have it. Is that a good copy of it? Not necessarily. I can't find it. Does it exist in your Shulchan Aruch? In the regular plain Shulchan Aruch? Okay, maybe it's in the Kovetz Mefarshim then over here. Someone can find it for me in this edition, I'd be appreciative. Yalka Mefarshim, man. Don't see it. Someone just lend me an old-fashioned Shulchan Aruch for a minute. I'll be able to read you. Oh, thank you very much. So the old-fashioned Shulchan Aruch has a Machta Shekel, can be found over here on page 6. Oh. So it goes by Shach, on the Shach's of Chabez, it's column 2. So Shach says, Svek Svek. Lo Kosev Ashar Dura Lehedra. He never said it was a Svek Sveka. So it's really not a Svek Sveka. Why is it not? What's the rules of Svek Sveka? Lo mikri Svek Sveka. We go into the klolim of, Svek Sveka hamis hapeich. Goes back to klolim Svek Sveka, which I'm not going into now at all. He's going into the Svek Svek. Then he says as follows. The different question. This is the question of the place. The Shas Kash Nakavim is Hapef. Which is Avala place. El Kavanaso, the Shem Sufik Charu, the Malo and Bomanat Stodim Omaka Omimaka, Kol Dam Shane and Amaka, Tor. How can I call Sufik Echadu, also Shaomu Shem Ones Charu? Yeshiva should learn Evanos and Subastav Tes, Evanos and Sugim Shvek famous four words, Shem Ones Charu, there's been so much ink spilled in those four words. It's noted there has to be two separate Svekas. And here it's only one Sufik. He gives a terrace to that too. Om nam kam kushizula kashamidi. Namavu amadin is svek svek of a piske marai. Hecha the sovik echad mati yosim echa vero lo mikri shem sovik chadu. Ochinami sovik echad mati yosim echa vero. Why? Listen very carefully now. Namai de kaimlon mokor mekom atomen. We learned that a long time ago. Who's learning Taurus? It's irrelevant, completely. We now have no way to face a mikdash. What are we spending time on Taurus for? Well, according to this, it's critical, right over here. Why? Shimdamen amakas shemimokor afsho isha tahora v'komakam adam shenoga b'mokor tomen u'mitamei taharas v'ashen ken yamin adam b'menat stodim v'ken lo hayadam b'mokor at all v'af adam eno tomen v'lo mitamei klal v'ken sofik zed v'shem u'men amako eno k'sofik shem u'men at stodim v'sofik beis mosif l'hatir afilu l'taharas. Uchlame lo havi suffik echod havi svek svek a gemura ayin shom. What a merry dick of teretz. We see that the laws of Taurus, thank you, are critical and very important for our purpose. Okay? So once they're critical and important for our purpose, we have to in fact analyze, is what we just said correct? Is what we just said correct? Is it true or is it not true? Well, you look at the Svekas, those who have a Piskei Tshuva, everyone has a Piskei Tshuva, Sivkot and Chav Ches, we couldn't find the Machs Hashem, which I still can't find in this edition, but okay. But we have a Piskei Tshuva, that we do have. Sivkot Pei Zayin, Piskei Tshuva, Sivkot and Chav Ches. It's somewhat lengthy. On the side of the what? On the page itself, that's why I couldn't find it. That's pretty funny. I'm looking all over the world, it's right here. Where is it? Mer Aleph, I'm going to say it to you. It's right in front of my nose, it's on the printed page. I'm looking at the back here and the back then. I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize. So those who have it can read it rubbish on the page. Thank you so much. Page in my mind. That never entered my mind. On the page. I guess I should have. Like an Aruch Chaim was on the page. It's on the page. Too. Thank you. I apologize. Thank you very much. So for next time. The Piskei Tshuva, though, does quote some of it. Something similar. Quotes a Noda Yehuda. In this case, page Mem Beis in my edition, the bottom of the first column. Svek Svek in Mamaka B'Mokor Atzmo. A Mamaka Evada Ena B'Mokor Rakman Atzor De Masura Afi Meit Tara. The Lekas Svek Svek. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it's not completely clear what he's driving at. So the chorus, what he's driving at is what we just said. That what we saw read from the Machzor Hashekel. That if it's coming from the Mokor, then the woman is Tahora, but the Dam is Tamei. It's coming from the Tzadim, and the Dam itself is Tahor. So therefore, it's a perfect case of a Svek Svek. But if you know for a fact, it's all or nothing. Either it's going to be either the woman will be Tahor and the blood will be tar, or the oil will be tameh, and the blood will be tameh. I don't care if it comes from here, if it comes from there. It's all shame on Eskadu. There has to be this concept of dam, the possibility of dam tameh, and the woman be tahora in order to make an effective sex. Everyone with me? There's a bit of a problem, Rabbi Osai. We went to this last one. Is there a pre-day on this, in this one? It is? Yeah. Thank you. Bonus me too. Where's that? Oh, I don't care. Whatever. Just give me a number.
How far? After the
Chidud Halachas?
Yeah.
Chidud Halachas is a Sidrei Tara. It's a part of his. I have Chidud Halachas. Hold on. Then after that, I have a Yaakov, a Farsh. I have that kind of Kamach, right? No. Not in my edition. Unfortunately. I have whatever over here. Okay. Oh, I have it maybe here. I go straight to a Kovas Mefarsh. I'm in line. Hold on. It's in the Kovas Mefarsh. They don't tell you pre-day. Whatever, this one has. It's good enough. So it's in this edition, I have the pre-day. Under the Matzah of Shekels, called the Turei Kesef, the Sifsei Levi. Those are the two parts of the pre-day. He also talks about this. Same idea. Again, for those of this edition, let's see. It's page Mem, I believe, in this edition of Tushav and Arach. Safek Echav Mati Yosef Mechaveiro. It's page Mem, what they call a Sifsei Levi. That's his perish in the Shach. Dachi is Karmin and Safek Men Atzadam, and Kain Gam Adam Tor. And Tinsaloma Men Amokar, Lechain Adam Bevarai Tomei, the Mokam Komatomei, Shemem and Amakar. That's what another Buddha said. Omna! Look what he asks. The Fimash Akhaz of a Sidre Tara, Simakuf Peches of Khan Dal Bachuva, Shom, the Maslavashar Ech, that we'll see soon. Blarmina Moko Makoma Tommy Rakbadama Konish Besoko, the ultimate men of Beteva, the Lobadama Yotimi Machmas Maka, I and Shom Shokhir came here Ramba, him came, Lisnayu, the Divre Hanoda Behuda. Then the Svek wouldn't work. So I don't understand. The Sidrei Tara quotes here the Noda B'Yehuda. Right? And he says a great thing. Why didn't he realize, Hey, Chlo Hirgish, Elish Yitas, the Simakuf Mechesp, Yev Shalom HaKein, V'Tzarech Iyun, that it won't work according to the Sidrei Tara himself. It's a great Tara. If you assume that the Dam, Makam, and Hamakar is Tomei, so Mokom Mokom Tomei, so the Dam is Tomei, that's the perfect Svek Sveka. But since the Sidrei Tara himself holds differently, there's a contradiction within the Sidrei Tara, is the catch of the pre-day and the Sifsei Levi on the Shachs of Kod Chavez. Let's take a look, in fact, at the Sidrei Tara. Everyone has a Sidrei Tara? On Chavez, on the Shach Chavez. Towards the end of Chavez, right before it says, Ach. Sifsei Levi is perished on the Shach. Sifsei is a Sifsei Kod, it's Sifsei Levi. I'm sure, I guess the author was a Levi. Sifsei Kohen, Sifsei Levi, Sifsei Yisrael. Who wrote it? A Levi! Yeah, Mishtak a Levi. So he wrote the Shach of the Kohen, he was a Levi. So Sifsei Levi. Great title. So, but in that, he has a kasha against the Sidrei Tara. Let's take a look at the original Sidrei Tara. For those who don't have, I can lend you this one. This is a yeshiva, but it's not a Sidrei Tara, please. Should be there, I think. This is in Simon Kuf Pei Ches. Sivkot Dal and Sidrei Tara and Vaasher Echazel. Very, very important. Extremely, extremely important. It's page Tuf Vav in this edition that I have. Can't tell what page it's in your edition. But whatever edition it's in, it's extremely important. And you're not going to believe it. The importance of the Halacha L'maisa Mamash. Not just all these Sveks, but Mamash L'maisa. How do we define that Mamash? Vaasher, and we mentioned it a long time ago, at the very beginning. People thought I was just over some ivory tower. I wasn't telling what it was. Everything's practical, that's the deal. Vasher Efs Eliyashiva Pimashakosar Ramban Varan Anita Daf Memalaf Ben Beis. Quote, Mokar Makomotomi. Lav Lamemra. That doesn't mean to say the Mokar Benegia di Domitami. The Tumas Beis Astaramu. Elixera Sakosavu. Kevan Shetuma Nivres Shom Mitchila. Kol shenivra bo tamehu, uben tameh nami b'tzuasa tumas erev v'mashu kedam nidu. That's the quote of the Ramban of the Ram. Zok the Sidrei Tara. What does mayonos dida mean? What does the word mayonos mean? You know what the word mayonos means? It means springs, right? But mayonos is found, it's a term of art. People say the Taurus here? Mayonos hazav, mayonos. What does mayonos really mean? Springs, that the body springs, has there's certain springs in the body. You know the Saratoga springs, the water, the hot springs that it keeps coming. And the body has springs. Things come out of the body. What do things come out of the body normally? Mei Raglayim, Gdolim, Shechvazera, Damnida, Roke. I'm not an expert in the Sechta Zavah, but there are a bunch of things that are called Mayonos HaZavah. These things come out naturally. They're normally coming out. What, I missed something? Whatever, I missed it, probably did. But that doesn't. Those are called Mayonos, right? So he says over here, if it's coming Mayonos Dida, then we say, Mokor Mekomo Tomi. Mash'en came b'dama bo ayadei mako d'lavi mayonos elohi el adama b'lua b'dofne ha'ever, right? Shabo ha'maka tor. Not only is the woman tor, the maka is also tor, the dama is also tor. This is not, it's like a bloody nose. It's coming from the dofne ha'ever, right? The same as a chas v'shalom person would scratch himself over here, so blood would come out, right, on the back of his hand, right? And if he'd scratch himself here in the head, that would come out. And on the back, that would come out. And on the foot, that would come out. So if you scratch the skin of the uterus, that also comes out. Says the Sivri Tara, that's not my honest at all. That you don't say, Mokar Mekomo Tome. It's not coming from the Mokar. Sure, it's coming geographically from the Mokar, from the Dolphin Mokar. But when we say Mokar Mekomo Tome, we are limiting ourselves to what, Rabosai? To what? The Daman HaMayonos, flowing from the springs, the natural springs of the woman. So says the Sidrei Tam. Oh. So now, the question is going to become, the Pridei asks the following question. Wait a minute. When we talk about the idea of a Svek Sveka, so what was a Svek Svek? We saw the Svek Svek. One Svek is coming in outside from the outside the Mokar, not in the Mokar at all. Not in the Mokar at all. And the other possibility is that it's Da Mokar Abosai, Da Mokar from within the uterus itself. When we say Mokar Mekomo Tome, Frideya, but it's coming from the Dofne Arechem, they don't say Mokar Mekomo Tome. Steer in Sidrei Tar. No, Rabbi, so what do you say about this theory? This leads us to the most important and fundamental question of Damak. Until now we discussed, how do you know it's Damak? That was a long time with the Mordechai, with the Chumas and Deshi, with the Bach and the Taz and the Shach and the Ramon. That was last week. But now we're getting to the more fundamental question. How do you define Damak? Yes. Mokar Mekomo Tomei presumably means that the blood is Tomei, but the woman is Tor. That's whatever it means throughout Shas. It's a Taurus thing. The blood is Tomei, and the woman is Tor. So we have a Svek Svek. According to one side, the blood is Tahor, and the woman is Tor. According to the other side, the blood is Tomei, and the woman is Tor. That's a bona fide Svek Svek, because it's going on two different levels. Had it gone to both, had it been double or nothing on both sides, it would have been a shame suffix chado. It's all one big stuff. Rabbi Sai, what do you think about this question? Never occurred to you. Steering to retire, I can't expect it. Never looks like my mind becomes, it's probably the mind becomes. Probably. Yes?
I just had a question
about
sex vapor.
You want to clawl this sex thing? I'm not interested right now. I mean, clawl them. That's going to take us very far afield.
I don't know if I'm
okay.
So this first suffix was like suffix mukher, suffix usher. The second suffix was like
suffix. So tar, suffix tum.
If
it's been outstud, then if it's a vaginal wound, it's the dama star. Never was in the mukher, never saw the mukher.
If it's
in the mukher, then we still have a suffix. What's the suffix? Is it dam, if it's dam maka, or is it not dam maka? Freck the predea. Wait a minute. But the quantum, but you said yourself, Sidre Tara, if it's dam and dolph, we just read it together. The dam which comes from where, Abosai? From where? Dam abalu abedolph neo eber, shabo amaka, that dam is tar. Slow. By the way, just to finish the sentence, it's a whole complicated steer in Rambam's, a whole Arichas Rambam, I'm not going into right now, steer all over the place in Rambam's, whether it's partly like the Gemara, partly against the Gemara, that's what came before, which we mentioned a little bit last time, a little bit, but that's the Rambam's a compromise, but that's what he's assuming. Now what's your question?
So according to the Yehuda, so he goes, it's with Dam, Maka, Mehan Akor, the Dam itself is Tameh, but she's Kamar. Once it comes out, shouldn't that be a Pesim like the Ram, like the same rational?
Good question. Let it be asked by the Rabbanan.
It's
a good question. So many poskim assume that they would never go to Xamam in this case for a variety of reasons. Rabbi Sad, here's the major question in the sugya. Presumably the answer is in Reitara. The Prideya in this question is assuming, Rabbi Sad, when we say Dam Maka, we are limiting ourselves to Dam Sheva Midofen Harechem. Dama Balua Bedofni or Eva Shaboa Makator, that's the only time when the woman's gonna be Tahora. Woman's gonna be let's call a spade, Muteras Labaila. She'll only be Muteras Labaila if the Dam is coming from the Dolphin or Aver. It would come just the same from the hand, from the foot, from the back, from the head. So it comes from the pear-shaped uterus, from the organ itself. The organ itself. It would have come if the girl been 5 years old and 95 years old. The same thing would have happened, even though not much going on in terms of monthly lining coming and going. Right? Does it? We take what happened there, 95 or 95. That's a damak. He's assuming, the pre-day in his question, if the blood is coming from what we call what? Let's read this certain expression, it's very important. We call what? The Nivra bo mi toldaso kumayonos dida, that is part of the spring. We'll call it, I'm going to use a medical term, we'll call it the endometrial lining. The doctor can correct me if I'm wrong. Endometrial lining is the lining which is it's a technical term for what we call the uterine lining, balabatish, the uterine lining. And it's that lining that grows by Kodesh Baruch Hu's miracles every month, and it grows to make it ready to accept the pregnancy. And then, if there's no pregnancy, the signal is given, shoop, slaps off. That's exactly the typical monthly cycle. Correct, doctor? That's so far so good? I'll make sure I'm more or less okay. So, if that would bleed, claims the Prideya in this question, she'd be Asura Labayla. That's not called Damaka. The only Damaka is it's coming from the Dofnek there. Dofnek there, see where I'm holding it. Should get out. The Dofne Harechem, right? So it comes Dofne Ha'ever, as he calls it. So if it comes from there, so then we would say that's considered to be Damaka. But there's no that of Moka Makomo Tome there either. So the whole Sidre Tara contradicts himself. How can the Sidre Tara realize he's contradicting himself? There's one possible answer to this question. What's that? That even the Dam which comes from the lining might also have a status of Damaka. Oh, this is a $64,000 question in Damak. Can it possibly be that Dam, which comes from what we call the lion, the Mayanos, could be entitled Damaka and not make a Rasur of the Baila? Is that possible or not? At first blush, the Prideya says no, and the Sidre Tara says yes. It's not a question. Please feel free to ask. Yes?
What's the assumption?
The only time that Maka makes a Buteris the Bala is Dam Habobi Dofne Ha'ever. That means a wound which takes place in the, we'll call it in the muscle of the uterus, or the, whatever, not the line, what's behind the line, which would be there, as I said, for a 5-year-old and a 95-year-old. That's what he calls Bedofne Ha'ever. Okay, that's Dam Maka, that's like a bloody nose. But if there be a maka in the mayonos, in the what we call the endometrial lining, in the spring, in what typically sheds after a month, if there's no pregnancy, that according to the Prideas kasha cannot be viewed as damaka. So he has a tremendous kasha. So the Ritar contradicts himself. So the Ritar presumably holds. No, he got it wrong. That dam is comes in the mayonos. That is the dam about which we say mokor mekomo tome. It is a tumas erev and it's tumas fataris, but she's mutaris lemal anyway. It seems to be the most significant question of all the hilchos pupling last week. You know, all kinds of side questions. How do we know this? How do we know that? Now you have all kinds of sonograms, you have all kinds of doctors looking in, we know a lot of things. What's it in? Much more a fundamental question. I know for a fact that it's a dam maka and the source is the endometrial lining. What do you say about that? Is that also a mutter? Prideya says also is a retire says mutter. So it appears. This is the most important question of all. Yes?
In the lining itself.
Now that could happen one of two ways, Rabbi Osai. There could be a wound. You know, sometimes a person, you ever have a canker sore? Ever happened in your life a canker sore? You know? How's it happen? I don't know. It happens. You didn't take a knife. You took a knife and made a hole there. It happened. I don't know. We have a doctor who explains what exactly happens. Certain bacteria get in, like a pus pimple happens and it starts to bleed. No, we didn't do any trauma, we didn't bang it, we didn't scratch it, it just evolved. I mean, not evolution. It evolved in the sense that with some, I don't know what, bacteria, I don't know exactly what happened. But no one took an instrument and made it. That's one kind of maka kind of by itself. There's another kind of maka, that's what they call a wound. You take a wound in the sense you take a knife and you scratch, or a needle, or whatever, you have scissors. That's a different thing completely. So these both can potentially exist within the endometrial lining. One, it could potentially just develop a maka by itself and be wounded somehow. How it happened, I don't know. I'm not an MD. Or, on the contrary, a doctor could have inserted something into the uterine area, scratched something, doing a biopsy, for example, and thereby pull out blood by actual physical contact. It's the second possible way. Rabbi Osai, you see what I'm talking about? Two possibilities. And in both cases, the question would be, is it a dam, assuming it's coming from the lining, is it a dam maka, or is it a dam nita? Rabbi Osai, the case which the Sidrei Tar and the Prideya are fighting about, l'chora, is referring to the first case. They didn't have doctors going in there in those days. I don't think so. I don't think they know how to get in b'chlal. It's such thin instruments. It's a catheter, who knows what. The whole opening is what, 3 millimeters or something like that. It's a very, very small opening. So it happened by itself. The Ezer Machlokas Prideya and Sidrei Tar. Prideya says, it's coming from the Mayonos, it's Shirasura, and the Sibritas is Muteris. What will happen in the case that we know today? A doctor goes in there with an instrument and he actually rubs against the uterine wall to take out a biopsy to see if it's Khalila cancerous or whatever else, this, that. What about that? Would the Prideo Asses in the first case be molded that's Muter or not? Maybe not. Who cares how you took it out? Doesn't matter. That's the blood which would have come out on by natural course of events. 2 weeks hence, it's considered to be down neither. We don't know. Prideya didn't have these kinds of possibilities. We don't know what he would say. So we're talking about Mata Bekal Vachomer. And Prideya, we don't know. Everybody so far, you have to follow me. It's very important. I had a chazanish here, I think last week. Did I bring it in? I'm pretty sure I brought it from the base of Amish. They put that back too? Oh, come on. I brought it myself, my own hands. I brought it to chazanish in Yerodea, in the base of Amish, into this room. Not another bar? First thing. We need it. I'll call if I have some notes written down. I guess tomorrow I'll have to get over all the other stuff because they keep bringing back. And if you will have it, very nice.
I just saw it like paper. It's engaged in that room, the library, where
you want to not clean up the books. Okay. I don't know who's doing it. Who could possibly do it? Which tzaddik is doing it? There should be tzaddik. Okay. Maybe the tzaddik should give us comments. Why should we take it away from him? Yeah.
What's the svarim machalik between naturally acquired maka?
Very good svar. If I scratched with my own hand, I made a scar, and that brings out the blood. True, the blood would have come out 2 weeks from now. Bitoris what? Bitoris the monthly period. Now they took it out with a knife, with an instrument, with a catheter, whatever you want to call those little probe. So therefore, since I took it out, we're going to view it as dam maka. Whereas if it just sprang a wound by itself, so that wound is much more similar in its nature to what would happen 2 months, 3 weeks. It's all natural. I didn't do it. It's happened.
It's more of like the Mayan.
It's more of the Mayan, the less of the being pulled out.
Maybe.
I can't. I don't want to speak for him. He didn't have it. I can't speak for him. But it's a logical possibility. Are both everybody with me so far? Yes.
Can we say the pre-day is if I understand correctly, we're saying the pre-day is mafmir by scratching the uterine lining?
I'm not sure. It's mafmir in the case where the uterine lining comes out. Remember, the case of the Ramon, no one scratched it. It just happened by itself. He's mafmir in the case where the uterine lining springs a wound. It's patsua. There's mafmir. Would it be mafmir in the case where a doctor went in and scratched it? I do not know, and I don't know if there's any way to know based on what we just saw in the pre-day. I don't know. I don't think they had that ritzius. They had the possibilities in those years. They can go on the line and find out that 200, 300 years ago, they had the possibility to go into the universe and take things out. Okay, it's another fact. We have to talk about the Psychos of Cambridge, which is another issue. But I'm trying to avoid that for the moment.
I'm just assuming they have something for a million years.
Right. Psychos, for those that don't know, there's an expression from the Gemara earlier, he after the Psychos of Kever below that. Psichas HaKever means you open up the opening to the uterus. Which opening? Machlekes. There are two openings in the cervical canal, which we call the outer os and the inner os. Which one of the two are we talking about in terms of Psichas HaKever? That's a whole dispute among the posuk. There's another dispute. Are we talking about from the inside or the outside? The Gemara's case is all from the inside. But though the uterus was mechadesh, if you want it from the outside, it's also yefshe below that. So, okay, but let's assume the post disagreed on another view. So then it could be the mice 200 years ago also, if they had a big instrument, whatever they had in those days. Yes?
So wouldn't the previous question also make sense if we said that he understood that a naturally occurring wound is completely a tumor, like a dalmatia?
But he didn't say that. He's assuming that the wound which is in the mayanos is going to render her asura lebaila, and that dam is also tame fataris. If it's a wound in the wall of the uterus, then what? She's muteris lebaila, and according to Sidrei Tara, it's also tara fataris. So there's no middle case. Those specs is predicated upon the assumption of a middle case where it's Tomei Vitaris and a Luteris Labile. So that's what the Prideas, according to the Tristitari, can't possibly exist. Double or nothing. That comes from the Mayonos, she is Asura, the Dam is Tomei. That comes from the Dauphin, she is Luteris and the Dam is Toro. Where's the middle case? So my answer is the Tristitari says no. If it's a wound in the lining, she is Muteris and the Dam is Tommy. That's exactly what we just read him say. Sibin Kul Peches and Kot Dam. Did we just read that? That's the case of Mokka Mokomo Tommy. It's Nivrasham. What Nivrasham means? Every month it's Nivra Michon. That's what the Ramban is driving at. It's created on a monthly basis. Not that it's there since she's born and in the back of the wall.
But how do we know that he doesn't? By Mayano, maybe it means whatever is flowing out at the time of the Nida. And anything else that ever flows out is considered a maka v'dofen. Meaning, how do we know that?
According to whom?
Pridaya.
Well, the Pridaya is saying to the contrary. If the Pridaya would accept what you're saying, that whatever comes out from the Mayonos, but not in a monthly cycle, would be considered a maka, and should be Muteris Levaila.
And Tor.
I don't be Tor. No, I can't be Tor, because that's exactly what's Tomei. It's coming from the lining. Something has to be Tomei. The Ramban said, if it's kosher nivra bo tomei, if it's nivra means it's created in the lining, it comes on a monthly basis. Something has to be tomei. What else?
Well, maybe you just...
Imlo ze ma. Has to be that. Okay? Fine. It's very important what we're saying so far. Yes?
They weren't going in and making incisions. How would they know that there was a naturally occurring maka?
Very good question. How could they possibly know there was a maka of a mocker? How are you going to know? To be a maka in its stud, then we can know. How can you know? Well, it's very far out, what we'll call, I found the official title. I kept using the words Levi and all that. I found the official title here. Rabbi Forst has two masterful discussions of this issue. In the last two chapters, 23 and 24, of what we call Chelek Aleph, Volume 1, which came out 10 years ago. And he also has, in Volume 2, he updated, didn't update the halacha, so those are more or less the same, but he updated the medical issues, completely updated. As he updated it, it's very, very important to see it. I will have to go get it from the other base medrash.
I have one.
Did I buy him too? Okay, I'd like to see it also. So here he has a picture, a very sanitized picture. You know, Rabbi Tendler, when he put out a sefer on Anida 30, 40 years ago, the Badatz came after him, a chutzpah, he wrote a picture of a woman. A picture of the uterus, in fact, put that in biological terms. He's so careful, he has it like this. It's a rectangle. Say boxes, mamish boxes. Page 428, boxes. So no one can excuse him of doing anything more graphic than that. Okay, but still, it's helpful. It's helpful to know. But he does use terms which are medical terms. And he talks about something which is called the vulva. He's got the new word, vulva. And he talks a whole bunch of fancy terms. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. They're all not English words. So. Mons veneris. Labia majora, labia minora, clitoris. It's all called the vestibule. The vestibule. He said the poskim call it the prozdor hachitzo. It should not be confused with the word prozdor, halakhic literature, which refers to the vaginal area. So that's the vulva's outside. Then comes the vaginal area. And as we told you before, the cutoff between the two is the what we call the hymenal ring. And he tells you how big everything is. He tells you, also tells you that the urethra, through which the urine flows, opens into the upper portion of the vestibule, right? And the vagina opens to the lower portion. This is what I told you before, that the meraglaim never get into the prozdor. They don't go in. They're getting into the outside area. That's true, but that's not even called the prozdor. Right, the vaginal opening is guarded by the hymenal ring, right? That's the pesulim, and this whole vestibule is further out than the dam pesulim. Then you have doesn't give you a measurement of it. I guess it just sort of opens up, but in the vaginal canal, he says it gives you details. At average 8 centimeters in length. Well, it varies with age, varied function, parity. This is the famous, what he called the base achitzon, or the prozdor. We call it the prozdor. They have the cervix. It's called savar harechem. 2 to 3 centimeters in length. Just get a picture of what's happening. That's 8 centimeters. It's 2 to 3. The internal os, if she has not given birth, is only open to 1 millimeter. Woo! 1 millimeter! Woo! How did they get out of there? 1 millimeter. She gave birth, 3 millimeters. And then you have the mucker itself, which is 6 centimeters long and lined with a tissue called the endometrium. The endometrial lining may vary from 2 to 10 millimeters in thickness, depending upon the stage of the menstrual cycle. There you go, you have Gantz biology here. Right here, all these few pages. I have no any more than this. It's much a lot of other stuff, but you're not discussing right now. Fallopian tubes, it's not a whole discussion. Fine. Everybody so far? The basic facts? Good. Fine. So now, having established these physical facts, the question becomes, what does Halacha say about all these things? What does Halacha say? So we really seem to have established a machlokes between the Sidrei Tara and the Pre-Day. What do other poskim say about it? So there are a number of sources which I apparently don't have in my original because it's okay, tomorrow's another day. I'll take one look. Let's see. Who's here? can see it. Okay. Down to the left. On the window. So I'll have to quote you. I have written down some little few notes, and there's some things here which are quoted in Rabbi Forst in his two volumes. There is a Chazon Ish. There's more than one. That's going to be the big problem. There's only one Chazon Ish, but there's more than one source for what he actually says. In Sefer Chazon Ish, in Yoredeya, Simen Pei Aleph, Dibre Maschel, I think it's Avol Ma, something like that. The Chazon Ish says as follows. You know, what happens if a woman has, in his words, Ababuo Shieshla Bepio Saorkim, Hamizankim is Damanidus? Why aren't we afraid if a woman has a maka, she has a maka, why aren't we afraid? I wrote down some more quotations from Chazon Ish, 1 second, I'm quickly piecing it together. I have it, I have it. 1 minute, I have another quotation. Before the letter, read what's in the safe. It says as follows. Elavadai, I'm giving you a quotation. Kol sheha orek patsua umuke ein derech bekach utahor. He's bothered by the question. Why should it be a damaka? Why? It's coming from the mayonos. Doesn't make a difference. Since an orek is a vein, right? The word vein, ought to be a blood vessel. I think orek means both. I'm not sure which one orek means. It could be both. Orkim, you know, in modern Hebrew, one of the main highways is called the Orkim. It's, you know, the way the cars flow, right? So where the blood flows, it's called the Orkei Dam. If it's patsua umuke, it's wounded, it developed a wound. Ein derech riyah bekach utahora. This is a direct quotation of Chazon Ish. Oh, thank you. Simen pei aleph, dibur maskel, avul ma. If you want to look it up later, feel free. It's on page Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel. He came with a new Chiddush. The reason why Damaka is Tor, even if it's coming from the Mayanos, is because Ein Derech Riyah Bekach. Ooh, that sounds familiar. Sounds like what? Well, what do we call that a long time ago? The opening Shia. The first day, we call that Dam B'li HaGoshen. Aye, Dam B'li HaGoshen, we suspect that Barich is also Mishim what? Mishim Keseh. So maybe B'chi HaGav Nelo Gozru. Once it's down to what the Rabbanim is, Heim Amru Veheim Amru. When it comes from a Makkah, Lo B'chi HaGav Nelo Gozru. So writes Chazon Ish here in Simen Pei Aleph Sif. There's only no Sif, just it's a Shiloh over here. In the second paragraph of this piece, beginning the words Avol Ma. The first new paragraph on page Kuf Yud Gimel. You should look it up and see for yourself.
Does he himself address the Kesef issue?
I do not think so. It's a long piece. Didn't mean every. I looked through it, but I didn't see directly from the address. I didn't see it. This is the Chazon Ish. Okay? So it seems to be clear as day that the Chazon Ish is holding Lakum. The way we used to set it up. Is it retar or the pre-day? Is it retar? It's mamish clear as day. So it appears. However, not so simple. Nothing is so simple. I have here two letters of the Chazon Ish, which he wrote to a, what's called over here, a gynecolog ha-Haredi, a Haredi gynecologist, Dr. Taub. Okay, Dr. Taub, there's dates on it. The Chazon Ish has no date, but the responses have dates. Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis Tov Shin Ches, Aleph Ayikra Tov Shin Ches. That's pretty, that's one after the other. All right, that's more or less. And, you know, we worry about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, Tav Shem Ches, the mandate was ending, the Arabs were fighting, and the Chazon Ish is writing shilas to the gynecologist, and Tel Aviv was answering him. Alright? Okay. That was building his own world. So, it was a question as follows. There was a nipuach, what's called bedikas avir. They blew something in to be able to open up to see if the fallopian tubes are open, and if blood comes, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? Is it a seret ba'or, a scratch of the skin, or one of the shririm hanovei adam? I wouldn't use the word shrir, but you know, shrir usually means a muscle. That's what we call it, which normally has dam, V'mashrir ma'elu menazim gam dam abesis. When he used the word shrir, he obviously referred to the endometrial lining. Is the lining a muscle officially, technically? I don't think so. So he might get to the word shrir in his language, be something different. So he answers it. So he answers back. I have to explain to you the three kinds of things. The three. One. Mosar adam aniger menaguf lechutz. Iker abest. Right? The extra, every month, the body throws it out. Two, it's very critical. Dam abosh lo bisman aves, ayade ones, kemo dchika, a push, o hako, or a bang, berechem, on the womb, hagorem nezilus tadam, which causes the blood to come out. It's not a monthly cycle, but something's banging and causes it. Well, he gives an example. What happens if a woman has a birth or a miscarriage? So that's the blood from that area. It's coming out, not a monthly cycle. Gimel. Dam abo machmas srat ba'or, seret ba'or arechem. She bitzput sadam bo, but also often she bo bepetza b'shkishar aguf. That could be in the rest of the body. So what's the difference? So the first one's obviously tamid. The third one is obviously tor. What about number two? How would you say number two, based on what we read in the Chazon Ish? What would you say? Tor, right? Here he says tamid. It's tamid. Hashnayim arishonim mitzad alochem osim es ha'isha. She requires shemiyam and nekiyim and tevila. The third one is tor. So I learned from your first letter, it's not the first one. But I'm not sure. Is it the third one? What's the third one? A quote. She'ein kan inyan miyuchad shel teva harechem v'tzinor osel. Nothing special, unique about the nature of the womb and its pipes. See, it's a pipe. But it's endometrial lining, so I'm just touching up. V'lachat zeh nase lupoga b'basa sharguf. If I touched here, it would also cause bleeding. So it's just the wall. Right? Gam kaya begara dam. That would be for sure tar, mutter. Oh, dam zeh v'suga sheni ha-miyuchad v'teva rechem, which would be a problem. Rebbeinu Shalom. How do you reconcile this for what he said where? In Chazon Ish Pei Aleph, if we just read it, and we open it up another time, one more time to see the problem. Here in Pei Aleph, he says that even if the orchid, which presumably are the blood vessels to which the normal period comes, but it's patsua umuke, and he explains to you why. He says, "Ein derech riyah b'kach utahora," and don't tell me that here it's worse. Kema the dama vessels over derech ababua v'enkan damak el danida, because the dam of the period passes through this area. Impossible. Dimke noflo taras maka bebira. The dilma dam nidus over derech hamaka. Balo somkan al isha shemageshes hapimaka. Lo amru chacham lachka berofim im dam nidus over derech hamaka. Okay, so he's considered to be a new hetter. Ein derech riyah b'kach. I mean, in the next paragraph, the paragraph omnam. Listen carefully. He says, "Dam anidus ha'over derech hamaka b'shas avest." What, she has a record of her monthly period, but she's also wounded. Should we say it's also not considered derech riyah? No. That's mikri derech riyah. But davka hadam. Listen carefully. Shelule hamaka lohoya bo. The word not for the wound would not come. Mikri shelo derech riyah. I'm asking the very big question. What does that mean? Lule hamaka lohoya bo. It would never come, or would come 2 weeks later? Davka adam shelule hamaka lohoya bo. Mikri shelo derech riyah. I'm asking, what do you say, Pshat? It would never have come, or would have come 2 weeks later? Yeah?
I'm trying to say that the maka being part of the uterus is going as shed normally anyway.
But since it came 2 weeks early, because it's patsua, it's ain't derech riya b'kach.
But if it's part of the uterus, it's going to shed.
Okay.
So I think he has to be saying...
He has to be the more makel version.
Yeah.
Correct. I agree with you. But that's not what I get impression from here. Here I got an impression that it's coming from that part of the body which sheds every month, even though it now came because someone gave a bang, it's still a stam nida. I don't have, so far I don't know how to reconcile these two citations. Both are verbatim chazan ish. It's not a forgery, it's verbatim. Sorry, it's ish. Aleph Yud Shin. So we signed his name. Ish. So it's
printed.
This is from Perador. Oh, now, I discovered in two different sources there's a third letter from the chazan ish, which Rabbi Forst theorizes is the final letter in this series to answer this serious question which was posed to chazan ish. Yes, we have a question. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just wondering, is it not how supposed to be the chazan ish?
The Dom, the Dom Yutra line is coming out because of a vein that doesn't cause a mach. It causes the Dom to come out, that's because it gets dislodged and comes out, and then it's no mach. Aha. So the very good answer he's suggesting. Here he's talking about what he called what? Ha'orek patsua umuke. Here, there's no petza, there's no hakod, it's not wounded, just what happens? Someone gives a bang. So maybe this bedikat avir is some kind of a bang, and this bang is going to, without scratching it, the bang itself, without scratching, it's going to cause the dam to come out. So what it's doing is causing the blood to come out prematurely. I'll give an example. If that's what it means, I'll give an example. You know, you may have learned in the sugars of Vestas, but kvitza. You probably laugh a little bit. Kvitza, what the rabbis know. Kvitza. The one jumps and it causes blood to come. The rabbis know more than anybody else. I've got so many shilas over the last decades that exercise has become popular. And the women go, they run the track and they run the gym. How by running the gym, it causes bleeding. Chazal do better than all the people made fun. It's a reality. I'll tell you three things that I've discovered to cause a certain pressures to bring on the blood earlier. I'm not always sure where the blood's coming from. We have to discuss that in some detail. One is running, an exercise. Two is lifting heavy things, which is, I guess, also kind of an exercise. I've also had situations in which straining at the stool, right, going to the bathroom, someone's constipated, also causes bleeding. I was always taught this is hemorrhoids. I'm not at all convinced that it's true. I'm convinced now that it's not true, that there could be a bleeding not from the back, from the front, which is associated with that kind of a strain. I think I may have paskin, maybe even a little bit not right, because I was told it can't be. I've had too many shadows. I'm still not sure though, and maybe the doctors can help me. If you can give me an answer by tomorrow, it'll be very helpful. If I'm assuming my facts are right, that it can cause bleeding from the front and not from the back, is that coming from the uterine lining proper? Or is it coming from, I'll go back to what the doctors told me, I have some expressions written down, a friolated cervix. Ooh. A friolated cervix, that's what's written down for the doctors. That means that the woman's cervix, we know the cervix is the inner part of the vaginal canal and outside of the uterus. Sometimes it's very, you want to tell me what does friolated mean? What? Don't use your fingers.
Crumbs.
Crumbs. It can shed, right? So maybe, and that's not endometrial lining, if I'm not mistaken. That's something outside the endometrial lining, if I'm not mistaken.
Similar, it doesn't shed every month.
I know. It shouldn't, but something that's friolated. It's not friolated, nothing's going to happen from there. If it's friolated, it could shed, but I've learned that it's sometimes only friolated at the time when the period is summer clavestum. That's what I found from check on the online or whatever you have to check on, you know, the medical school. And that's why if a woman has, I think I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Some women who have constipation equally all month. But if they just had the period and they go through the shiva dikiyum, no problem, nothing comes out. And they go to the mikveh for a week, no problem. But then already the last week, the week before the next period is expected, when it comes close to the vessels, then already the exact same straining, the exact same pressure in the same part of the body may cause this, quote, friolated cervix or something else to lead to bleeding. I'm hoping it's only friolated cervix and not from the uterine lining itself. Doctors swore up and down to me it's impossible if a woman's is straining at the bathroom, it could cause uterine blood. But I'm not 100% sure they tell me the truth. I mean, I'm sure they tell me the truth to the best of their knowledge. That I'm sure, but what is the best of the knowledge is correct. So that's your assignment. Very, very important assignment. Really, that's a critical assignment. I'm going to do my research, but that's very important. But I do believe that that exercising can even cause the uterine blood to come out earlier. Yeah, I'm sorry? I haven't done a survey, but I've done the shots I've received. They only get constipated certain parts of the month.
It's random. Either it's random or it's constant. It's constant. It might be more
crazy. I don't know. Okay. Look it up, please. Right. Let me know what the answer is. In any event, Rabbi Yisai, so what you're suggesting in Teretz is that the Chazon Ish will say, if yes, of course, if it's patsua umuke, it means there's an open wound in the uterine lining, that's considered to be a damaka, that's right, the Simon Pe'alev, and Derech Riyabakach, even though it's really coming from the same parts, ultimately. However, two things. Number one, when the Dam Nida comes, the monthly cycle goes through that same area, that's considered Derech Riyasa. And number two, even if it's not the time of the month, but there's some kind of a pressure which is exerted upon a somewhat intact uterine lining. It's not patsua, it's not muka. There's no wound there. There's no bruise there. Just the pressure will cause it to come early. That may be somebody said, well, lifting weights, maybe exercise, running. That may be it. Yeah.
That just causes the patsa. I mean, if it gets knocked from the outside, it just causes the patsa inside, and that's why it bleeds.
If a woman runs. That causes a pet cycle?
I mean, the tissue's intact and then it bleeds. So why does
No. So when he says petza, he means ha'orek patsua umuke, he means the same way that, you know, I can have a canker sore. That's patsua umuke. Even when it's not bleeding, there's something wrong. You can see it's a sore, right? It's a sore there. But he's saying there in the uterus, he's claiming chazanish, if this child is correct. It's perfectly normal, healthy. It looks as though this woman doesn't need a doctor. She doesn't need any medicine. It's perfectly healthy. Just that, because she ran and put an extra strain on it, so blood came out 3 days earlier than it would have come out otherwise.
So the question is the cause of specifically direct or indirect.
That's not called a wound. You're a physician. Whatever bleeds by definition is a wound. No! If a woman is healthy and she sees a monthly period, that's not called a wound. That's called a monthly period. Here, she got it 3 days early because she ran the track. I believe that it's uterine. Is that your? You gotta look it up. It's very important. I think it's uterine. I think that's really dam nida. And I hope that in the case I described about the straining in the bathroom, it's not from the uterus, because if it would, it might also be a shadow. Even though the doctor swore it can't happen, but maybe they're wrong. I'm talking about orthodox doctors. I'm not talking about non-orthodox. These shadows are posted, man. I don't know the answer. I said, you sure? They told me, yeah, sure, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
And this whole thing is tolerated in this era in Chazon-ish.
You want to know what others say?
No, I want to know, like, what are the...
What's the Gemara say?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the Chazon-ish must have Raios or Svaros one way or the other, so why can't we go back to the Raios and the Svaros?
That's my style. I don't like the quote only from Chazon-ish. But in the Gemara, it's not completely clear. Not completely clear.
Why does the Chazon-ish make a difference then? If there's no way for being right one way or another, so one Chazon-ish says one way, one Chazon-ish says another way, so would you pass them totally up to the Chazon-ish in this?
Well, if there's no one else, the answer is yes. But what did other people say? So I want to quote you a few other sources. Quote some other sources.
The Chazon-ish must have had a svara one way in one place and one way in another place. There must be something to go on other than just what the Chazon-ish said. It's actually different views.
Not different views, it's a very svara. The svara is if you have a wound which comes out as it came out from a finger, that's certainly considered to be damaka. That's for sure. Dam nida is certainly not damaka. In between, there are a whole series of things which we figured out on our own as different things. One is, we said before, it comes out with pressure. With lifting weights. If you want to have that one. That, we're going to say it's also, it's kvitsa. We gave it to them, kvitsas. That's a source. I gave you a source. Shas. Kvitsas. Okay? But the Gemara talks about damage comes there at onus. The Gemara, before she Gemara, onus doesn't mean a gun to a head. Onus means it's some jumping around. That's considered to be, and we know that to be true. That's not called dama. That's in one extreme. That may be just what he's saying over here in Pe'avas. That's what's only knocking on. And we have two other cases. Da Patsua Muka comes out by itself, and dama comes out when you scratch it. When you scratch it, of course, the problem's going to be if you scratch the wall. Here's what I want to say. If you scratch the wall of a postmenopausal woman, you scratch it. I think it's for sure should be mutter. Although, and here I'm a little bit differing with Rabbi Forst a little bit. He says, well, even a postmenopausal woman still has a little bit of endometrial lining. That's true. But that's not the part that comes in and out. That's the basic part of her body. Till she's 120 years old, that'll be there. But that's not called mayonos, that's not called sinoros. That's called a lining. You know, all right, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made the woman. That has to be. I'm not agreeing with him as far as that is concerned. As a matter of fact, I was looking at my notes, and we learned this in Camp Mor Hashah in summer of 1996, and I found a fascinating note I made for myself. I'll read it to you. Ka'es motzi Shabbos Ekev. That's what we were learning, middle of summer. Nish'alti b'isha sheyesh lo fibroids. You know what fibroids are? You know what fibroids are? No. Should never know from it. But it's a fairly common condition. There are two types of growth that we talk about in a woman's uterus. One is called polyps, and one is called fibroids. I'm not exactly sure the technical difference between the two. You'll print it out for me for tomorrow, because Rabbi Forst wants to distinguish between the two of them. The polyps are usser and fibroids. Polyps might be mut, and fibroids might be usser.
Yeah.
What are polyps? What are they? You know what? You not sure?
Yeah, a polyp is the growth from the lining out.
Right.
And the fibroid is an abnormal muscle growth.
Under the lining.
But it's muscle, but it can induce bleeding, but right. It doesn't bleed.
So that's why we can consider the fibroid to be an extension of the muscle inside. And when the woman bleeds outside of that fibroid, the fibroid in effect causes the lining to bleed, that could be worse than a polyp. A polyp is like a pimple comes out. If I have a pimple on my cheek, if you have pimples here all the time, pimple that bleeds out here, that can happen to any part of the body. So polyp is like that, right? More or less. But a fibroid is something much more internal, and therefore maybe a problem. So I got the shot out of fibroids. Vinasnula lupron. You know what lupron is? I found it here in one of these books. Shepoa hafsakas vestus. V'yesh lakol simone isha shemafsekas liros. Kolel hot flashes. She's in effect, simulating menopause. A younger woman, simulating menopause. Okay, so she doesn't bleed at all, right? She wasn't bleeding. Aval kisha rotza v'chadoma. She ran. Dam yotze me'afibroid. Here's the case. This is the shot I received on Motzei Shabbos in the middle of the summer. I was relearning those halachas. So I made the following suggestion. Maybe rak beisha shiroa kol chodesh ba fibroid takua ba shichva. Shichva is the Hebrew word I use for what shichva is. You know what shichva in Hebrew means? Shichva means a layer, a lining, etc. Ba shichva shagot gedela kol chodesh hu misparekes b'shas vesta im kein af b'motzi dam muktam asur. Endometrial lining, dam klal. Then I wrote down in my brackets. Ishazu to kabel endometrial ablation. Which would knock out the whole everything. But that hadn't happened yet. So it was still this case which I received. I thought it should be mutter. Whereas Rabbi Forst in his sefer is not convinced that any difference should be made between postmenopausal and before. Why? Because it's still a little bit of the endometrial lining. This is found in page 509, volume 2, footnote 33. But a biopsy in a postmenopausal woman, she has a little bit of an endometrial lining there. It's very, very thin. And I thought that we could argue with that. It's not part of the quote-unquote Osam Gidon HaMispak and B'Shas HaVest. Who said that Lashon? From Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman's Mechadish is quoted in Nishmas Avraham here in our Simon Kuf Pei Zayin in Yerodeya. that even also hagidim amispakim b'shas haveses, and you cause them to bleed, it's still mutter. Shlomo Zalman is clear. He's matir, even if it comes from the lining which normally grows and sheds every single month. Or, to quote the lashon of the Chazon Ish, harechem etzinor oseho, it's pipes. And we saw, okay, so I thought, if the woman is premenopausal, so she has this pipe system that she's active every month, then that's the shayla we just discussed. But if she's postmenopausal, so she has lining, but the lining, all the pipes are gone from the lining. So what, that's, why is that any different than the skin? Came there really, but in opposition to what Rabbi Foss says in page 509, volume 2, footnote 33. Fine. This is the shayla, Rabosa. This is the shayla. Oh. Another source, Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Zayin Simen Lamed Zayin. It's a tshuva to none other than Rav David Cohen, Rav de Gvul Yavitz, from Brooklyn, New York. The tshuva is over 20 years old. He has a shot of five words. He spells it out five words. He quotes the Chazon Ish, and he thinks based upon the Chazon Ish that if the doctor caused blood to come out from this fibroid, it would be permissible. It would be permissible. That's what he says. He quoted the same Yisod of Chazon Ish, goes back a while, I shouldn't think it's only in. The Dvar Shmua. Shut Dvar Shmua. Maybe tomorrow someone will bring it to me. The Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Yud Zayin. We have it on main base medrash. Remember Tzitz Eliezer Yud Zayin, please bring it in. I have it at home, but I don't have it right in front of you right now. We'll read it to the end of tomorrow. You see what he says. It goes back to some earlier sources. Couple hundred years ago, I don't know, Dvar Shmuel, whenever he lived. So it does go back. It's almost verbatim. Don't tell me that since it comes out through that way, it's considered Damnida. It's almost the word of Chazon Ish. Then the whole head of Damaka falls by the wayside. We never know what's happening inside there. Yeah?
But Forrest doesn't like the
Dvar Shmuel.
He quotes it in Dvar Shmuel.
Doesn't like
the Dvar
Shmuel. Oh. Rabbi Forrest distinguishes between polyps and fibroids.
So that's in a different footnote.
Different footnote, okay. But he says that maybe the Tzitz Eliezer made a mistake when he quotes these gedolim, Chazon Ish, Dvar Shmuel, as being matter fibroids. No, maybe they only mean matter polyps. That you want to find out, that is also. This is in page 526 in volume 2. Maybe polyps is mutter, because that's external, it's like a pimple on my skin, on my cheek. Whereas fibroids, which is under the uterine lining, maybe we should view the fibroid as a continuation of the lining. It's not a separate wound. Something along those lines. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I can't say. I'm not sure. I'm just telling you what he says. So this leads to a whole very serious question. Very, very serious question. This is from Shlomo Zalman, is Mekel, and Silikuf Pei Zayin Sifkot Beis. Why? What's Danid? The only quote, Rak Hadam Sheyotze Me'elov Kedarko Be'ofen Tivi. But then he's bothered with Shlomo Zalman. What about these other things we were talking about? Or Nishmas Avram? I'm not sure where the Nishmas Avram starts and Shlomo Zalman ends. So one of them says, I don't know who, the Rebbe or the Talmud, if he's going to say this, that we say, Yesh the Psichas Akeba below Dam. So who cares? Not Derech Riyasa. I have to say that's called Derech Riyasa. And it's bedikas avir. We don't do it anymore nowadays. It's a blowing. No, that's also called derech riyasa. So it becomes very problematic. So then, what's derech riyasa? What's derech riyasa? You know, we know it's not derech riyasa. A scratch. If a doctor makes a scratch, that's presumably not considered to be derech riyasa. But anything short of that, we're not exactly sure what is derech riyasa and what is not derech riyasa. We don't know exactly. We're just not sure. We're just not sure. Now, he's not, the bottom line, if you want to a forced psak, he is mesupik in this entire shayla, Rabosai, whether it comes out, again, his shita is, that if, I'll read it to you in his words, Rabbi Forrest's words, because I think he has a very, he said, You'll say, what does everyone else say? Nothing. I'm telling you, he says more than anybody else. If you can find other Mechavim Zmanenu who took more on this point than Rabbi Forst, I'll be happy to salute them and read every word they said. It's ironic, I found more in an English book than anywhere else in all the Hebrew literature.
Chok
Usman,
similar.
Close to Rabbi Forst. Okay. Close to Rabbi Forst.
He goes others as well.
Chok Usman. Is that one or more than one volume?
There's supposed to be more than one.
The only one, because I have it somewhere. Maybe I have it here. I was given to it by his father. You know what that is? The one of the famous? He's one of the heroes of our yeshiva. You know what I'm talking about? Those are the veterans of our yeshiva. Remember, the wife became a smicha by us. He got smicha, the last haggah smicha with a man of. This is, I think, he's one of his sons is in the rabbi in Moscow, I think. Or somewhere in Ukraine. And the other son is Rav Mechaber Chok Usman, and he was learning in Grus for years. You never met him. Don't you ever learn in Grus? Bleich, not related to Rabbi Bleich by yeshiva. I'm surprised he's a hero. He was helping the Russians when he was here getting the tuition. I'm surprised he's a heroic figure. Surprised me. Ask around. The veterans know who he is. So he gave me the saber. He said, "My son wrote the saber." Yeah. And I think he wrote me sort of shyly. I should answer him. Anyway, so okay, I'll look there. Let me read you some of the choice quotes from Rabbi Forst's Sefer, which I think are very important, simply for the absence of other sources. Okay, let's see on page 451, in the first volume. I'll read it to you. I'm sorry it's been so achronish, but I don't know, no one else talks about these things. All right. 451. That's what he says. I read it to you. In the event of uterine bleeding, it becomes difficult to determine whether the bleeding is only from the wound. Some procedures cause bleeding from generalized uterine trauma, besides bleeding from the wound itself. You don't know. You're not sure. In addition, some types of trauma are difficult to classify as a wound. An instrument that comes into contact with the uterine wall may cause to shed some of the endometrium. It is unclear if this is considered a makom. You hear what's going on? Even if you touch it with an instrument, he says it's unclear whether it's considered to be a makom. This is on page 451. Back on 428, he seemed to say, quote Chazon Ish, blood which flows from the uterus when it's lacerated in a manner that blood doesn't flow from any other organ when it is lacerated. However, if the uterus is merely shaken or hit and some menstrual blood is loosened and emitted, she is to me. That's correct. He reads it very, very nicely. Then he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, says, even if the same blood admits menstrual blood, if it causes a wound, the woman is still tahara. And the Chazon Ish says that over here in Avol Ma. So he himself is pointing out certain nuances and steers almost within Chazon Ish. And he says over here, let's see, as follows, Rav Osai. On page 457 and 8, he makes the following observation. Endometrial biopsy. Okay? It's uterine blood. And we should consider her a nida. Why? Removing tissue from the uterine lining? Apparently, he's afraid to be makel. Even though he quoted before, quoted the Mishlei Mazama, it should be makel. Comes to the bottom line, he sounds like he's machmir, as if he's afraid to be mekel. 458. This is in volume 1. In volume 2, he also has a couple of choice quotations. Okay, I'm putting this over here. Now, volume 2. This is page 495. This is what we call an appendix. And 495. Scraping might fall into the category of a makkah defined by Chazon Ish in his letter in that letter. What is he discussing over here? It's something similar, right? It's scrape off some tissue from the uterine lining, right? Well, Chazon Ish should be a makkah. Shlomo Zalman says he's coming from the seraphim blood vessels. Da 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 da. On the other hand, listen carefully. Since the uterine lining is unlike any other organ, it is extremely delicate. and bleeds when merely touched by an instrument. It is not completely clear the Chazanish would categorize all such bleeding as damaka. Number one. Number two, and I wish I have to call him up, but again, number two, in addition, not all poskim accept Chazanish's guidelines. That means they're more machmir than him, not more maker. More machmir. And there's no clear halach consensus among poskim that bleeding caused by the scraping of the uterine lining is considered damaka. So he's not sure. That's page 495. What makes it worse if it comes to suction? Because suction, the chora, is more comparable to being hit from the outside than being scratched from the inside. The bottom line, Rabbi Osai, he has a couple of coolers. The main cooler that he has is assuming that we know for a fact that there is some external bleeding. If there is for sure external bleeding, how's that? Sometimes the doctor will grab onto the cervical opening with what he calls a tenaculum. I don't know what's tenaculum. They call it Hebrew tzvas. Tzvas for tzvas. That's what no. What do we call that? Tweet. That's what I'm trying to get. But you know, it's two pieces you hold onto. It's called external bleeding. So that's vada. And we're not even sure in many cases whether there's any uterine bleeding. And if there is uterine bleeding, we're not even sure it's considered, maybe it's considered to be damaka. So he put all the svaras together. He suggests that maybe there's room to be mekel. And then, that's on page 499. And he says that even in a case where there's a strong possibility of uterine bleeding, there may still be room to be mekel if it's a certain bleeding from the outside. And then he writes over here further on page 506. I'm just giving you so you can be able to look it up yourself. There's so much though. I said it on my own, I was afraid to say it, but he says he prints it. There's an argument to be made that the bleeding caused by a DNC, you know what that means? They mamish scrape off the whole lining in one shot. A lot of blood comes out. Maybe that's even also damaka, since the bleeding is caused by a scraping of the uterine lining. However, poskim are generally not lenient regarding a DNC. I'm scared to be making the shayla. The whole thing comes out. I'm scared also, but he makes an argument. Maybe it should be considered to be permissible. And then his biggest discussion is on pages 510 through 512. That's where he has a biggest discussion. And the topic of his discussion is primarily what they call an HSG. Very common procedure, which can lead to almost for sure to outside bleeding, just about for sure. They hold it from the outside, then they throw something in. They put to see if there is polyps or fibroids present, to see if the tubes are open, and they put a dye in. Okay, middle of the Shivan Nikian, very often it happens. A small little catheter, even beyond the internal os. There's a dye leaves the body, it can be tinged from blood, it's a whole arichas tevarim. We're not going into the whole, quoting everything, you're reading yourself. There's a footnote 35, which is two pages on this very topic. So he says more or less that, like this. Sometimes the following reality exists. Just touching that part of the skin will cause it to bleed. It's so delicate. Now, if you touch your hand, it won't cause the bleed. You touch your forehead, it won't cause the bleed. You just put your finger or anything. Your finger can't get in there. You put a whatever instrument, a soft instrument even, on the uterine line, that itself will cause the bleed. So, frekti, sefer pisrei halacha, Rabbi Forst, if that's the case, so if you don't consider that to be damaka, so to paraphrase Chazanish, nafal ahed of the damaka bebira. All the postmen talk about these modern, the modern day postmen talk about putting things into the uterus and scratching. That's going to be a heter of damaka. Not true. Because before you get to scratching, you touch it. And the second you touch it, the mashadam comes out. That mashadam is not something that's comparable. Well, I scratched here, I would have scratched my skin, it would have been the same thing. That's what Chazanish says. But before I got the chance to scratch it, I had to touch it first. And just touching it, that touching itself caused it to bleed. That touching wouldn't have happened on my skin. So maybe that should also be considered to be dam nida dam maka. That's what's bothering him in this rather lengthy footnote. So that's impossible. It's against all the poskim. So you have to say either it's wrong, that's also considered to be dam maka, or that dam, that dam is bottle, that mashu dam is bottle, and the dam is going to come out further when you scratch it, or if it comes out on the instrument, maybe there's a heter shvoferes. If you look at, he quotes him in Kuf Pei Ches Siv Gimel, talks about shvoferes, and according to some Rishonim, shvoferes, we'll discuss shvoferes, it's mutter not because it's a hefsik between the blood and the walls. Should have to be a closed straw-like chauffeur, it's a tube that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman talks about, we'll get to that. But rather, it's just not normal. Ein derech riyasa. So there are three possibilities to get out of this problem. Either even the, just what you touch is considered to be dam maka, even though it's unique to the uterus, and you touch the skin here, wouldn't it bleed? You touch the skin here, it does bleed. Afal pikan, as long as you touch it, it's still considered to be dam maka. Or if it's not considered to be not dam maka, it's bottling the remaining damaka which comes out when you cause a scratch. Or, if you pull it out on an instrument, it's considered shoferes. Those are his three suggestions. And then he quotes, after all is said and done, he quotes Rabbi Avadya. He's the closer. Which is what I tell people. Volume 2, page 66. What does he say? Lon, we follow up Shlomo Zalman. That if you irritate the uterine wall, it's considered to be damak, even though that blow would have come out later anyway. But he also suggests that she wear only colored garments. Any bleeding that may occur will be without argosha, and consider it a kesem. Maybe even Chazanish is leaning regarding an HSG. Whatever. Then he comes with a zinger. With all these coolers, he goes to Shlomo Zalman as a chumra too, and I think it's a very good chumra. And it's found in Nishmas Avraham, the same place. Rabbi also said the same place. Nishmas Avraham is in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, Siv Kotten Beis. Nishmas Avraham, after being Makel, a very big Makel, this whole Shaila, he throws in a Chumra, and every Makel is entitled to throw in a Chumra too. So his Chumra is as follows. If you want to look it up, it's Siv Kotten Beis. I think it's page, maybe Pei Aleph or something like that. He says as follows. If this procedure is taking place, listen carefully, please. Close to her expected period, and there was bleeding, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wants to be machmir. Why? So maybe he's saying that since it's so close to the expected period, maybe the blow would have come out anyway. You know, it's not a robot, an exact schedule. It's close enough to the period. We cannot be sure that this is coming out. Because of this, or we do it, it wouldn't have come out anyway. Something along those lines. This is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Look it up. Farish, it's there. Maybe we'll bring it tomorrow to read Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's Lush. Rabbi Isa. Yes, good question. What? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is the one who's the maker on that ground. Afal Pikain, since the Chazanish did say that if the. He didn't call Chazanish, I don't think. Since Chazanish did say that the Dam Nidus that comes out through this channel is considered Derech Riyasa. Since you're close to the Vesses, you can't take a chance. Makes sense. Makes sense. Yes?
Does anyone argue with Rav Avadya's Kula? Meaning it would seem that at worst, it is a Ketem, and so it's the one who should work. Does anyone argue with
that? Sure you can argue. You can say a Ketem is only something which we don't know was inside. You know, that whole spoken with we had that whole read in the very beginning. But if we can assume the way we thought was true, that as long as it's not coming min Bar Gosha, it's considered to be have the coolest of Ketem, it's Vare Mimikoro, that would be even star after the other Svaras to be made. I think that we have to rely upon that. That's what I tell people to do, wear colored garments. But again, I'm saying, we're only Makel if it's just a small amount of bleeding. A DNC, even though if I had the courage of my conviction, I would say the Svar had to be Makel. I'm afraid, because that could be everything's coming out. And even if everything's coming out 10 days before the period's expected, so there's a good Svar to be Makel anyway. Too much for me. I can't take any chances. That you can't put on garment. That's a whole flow. Everything comes out. But otherwise, a small amount on an intimate kabel tumma or color that can be made. And one of the things they often see is whenever they go to the doctor, they put them on. They, luckily for us, they put a paper. They put you've been in the doctor. When you go into the doctor, they put a paper as a roll. They change every patient. That's not a kabel tumma. It's paper. Even though it's white. So when she sees that not paper, it's a kabel tumma. You try to get out of it, technically speaking. Otherwise, it's a serious problem. We've also spent the whole day on this one topic, but I want to see some even a little bit more tomorrow in the text. This is the critical topic of what's considered to be damaka. Because if it's not considered to be damaka, even if we know what happens through our various tricks from we spoke about last week, it's not going to help us anymore. So we gave somewhat of a consensus. We'll have to look up the Chok Uzman. Any other source you find, put them on my desk tomorrow before the Shia. I'm happy to read them. Yes, last question.
Practically, yeah. Is there a willing market for mid-course, or like doesn't
make one come there? Again, I remember Vajis compromise. I'll say make sure it's on colored garments, and then I will be willing to be made. It's a compromise.
But only on colored garments.
If she follows on her own skin, I don't know. It depends. There's too many variables. I don't want to give a definitive yes or no answer. Many, many variables. Here on both sides, we Baruch Hashem covered this. After we finish this topic, the next topic is probably Shvil Feres, and Shvil Feres that leads us to the question of Shlomo Zalman's famous pesach: where is the Bein HaShinayim? Because it's his trick he wanted to do to avoid Nida completely for women who could not conceive otherwise. And then we're just going to go on. A lot to talk about, Rabosai. A lot. But tomorrow, same time, 11:30? Yeah? Okay, we'll see you out of the Shema.